Good morning, ladies. I'm very honored and humbled to be standing here before you, so many of you who I look up to and admire, the strong, faithful Christian women. You have made such an impact on my life through the years. So many of you who have taught and given encouragement to me, especially through the springtime of my life and still today. My topic this morning is serving God in the spring of life. As Sharon had read earlier, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. The spring of our lives is characterized by our youth, our high school and college years. Remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. These are the years we are still trying to figure out our place in life, still discovering ourselves. It is also in these years that we face the most pressure from our peers. These are the years we feel the most pressure to be accepted and to be liked. And it is in these years that we really, and I mean really, need to choose our friends wisely. When I think back on my high school and college years, two friends in particular come to my mind. Two very different friends that I had at different times in the springtime of my life. The first friend, although she was not a Christian, was a very nice girl who had been raised with good morals and values. She knew I was a Christian, and she respected me for that. She never tried to put me down or question my beliefs. She knew who I was and what I stood for, and she had even come to worship with me on a few occasions. As we grew older into our senior year, she started to change. She started going to parties, and we drifted. And at the time, I felt bad, because I didn't know, wondering why she didn't invite me out with her anymore. But in her mind, I think she knew these were the kind of parties I probably did not want to be a part of. So rather than be a bad influence on me, she chose to separate herself, and we drifted. Who knows? Maybe she never told me about the parties or invited me out with her anymore because she was ashamed, knowing that the things she was doing was against what I stood for. The second friend was quite different. Constantly questioning my faith, always putting me down, trying to make me feel stupid for what I believed in. She did not believe in religion and could not make up her mind whether or not she believed in God. I had also brought this friend to worship with me, but it almost seemed as though she came with me just to get ammo to use against me. This friend was constantly trying to pull me further away from Christ. And when I would fall or sway or not make the right decisions, it was almost as though she were happy. And believe me, she tried as best as she could to pull me away from God. Unlike the other friend, she did not choose to drift away, but always pushing, always wanting to be the best friend, the closer friend, the best friend. And it's only today, really, now that I can see clearly how she was then. I was so blinded. At that time, I had blinders on. I was blinded, thinking every time she asked questions about God, about the Bible, about why I don't go to the dances. She really, I thought she was genuinely interested, showing her the verses, trying to give her the information. But now that I look back, when I think back, the only thing she really wanted to do was build up her own arsenal to tear me down. And I should have been the one to open my eyes and push her away. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals." Now, I must confess, as a teen, I thought, this verse isn't about me. I can handle it. Do not be deceived. I was so deceived, thinking, well, you know, I'm a good Christian girl. I've been in the church since I was 4 years old. I've got great Christian parents. I've got a great, strong background. Do not be deceived. Do not. Evil companions will corrupt your good morals. I don't care who you are. Satan is always looking for any way he can to pull us away from Christ. And for everyone, it's different. For some, it's work or it's school. Maybe it's being in band or the high school play or sports. For me, it was peer pressure. That was my downfall. And in the spring of life, it is often the bad influences that suffocate us every day. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. No one in this room is immune to Satan finding our weaknesses. We must be sober and aware, always leaning on the Lord. We cannot completely sever ourselves from the world. There will be many people that come in and out of our lives, in school, in work, in our communities. But we need to be smart. We need to be careful not to let those who may be a hindrance or those who can cause temptations to get too close. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communication hath light with darkness?" And I have the commentary on 2 Corinthians here by David Lipscomb. And it says, "To be unequally yoked would be to be so connected with an unbeliever that the believer would be controlled by the unbeliever." Now it's highlighted in here, and I've read this before, probably when I was my teens. And of course, I mean, if you read it, that to be unequally yoked would be to be so connected with an unbeliever that the believer would be controlled by the unbeliever. And I would think, controlled? My friends in school don't control me. My friends that I have don't control me. But you know what? Peer pressure may as well be a form of control, because you will find yourself doing things you never thought you would. Remember, that verse also says, "What communion hath light with darkness?" We are to remember that we are the light, not the darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5 and 6. "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. You are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." There are two kinds of peer pressure: good and bad, light and dark. We can be pressured to do bad, or we can be pressured to do good. So we need to choose our friends wisely, those who will give us the kind of peer pressure to do good. Romans 14, verse 19 says, "So let us follow after the things which make for peace, and things whereby we may edify one another." It is so important for us to cling to our Christianity. It is so important for us to follow after the things which make for peace and edify one another. When I was young, we started having Friday evening youth fellowships here at the building with Brother George Jensen. We probably started when I was about 12 years old. And I am so thankful for those Friday nights. It was then that I started forming really close friendships with the other teens of our congregation. The information we learned, the good peer pressure we received from each other, and the strong friendships we built are with me every day. Attending youth lectureships, staying in the homes of good Christian families, absorbing all the wonderful hospitality, and being surrounded by good peer pressure. Attending Bible camp every summer after a long, long year of public school. It was like having my Christian batteries recharged. I think I probably cried halfway through the week every year I was at Bible camp, just because of the joy and peace and healing that was going on inside of me. And just being surrounded by godly people 24 hours a day For 7 days, there is nothing, and I mean nothing like it. And we built amazing friendships. My dear sisters, Danielle and Diana Lynn, if it were not for their support and their friendship, in those early times and even today, really, I don't know what I would have done without them. And I know we all have dear Christian sisters that we don't know what we would do without. These are the friendships that get us through. These are the friendships that push us to do better, to be better. Just being with my fellow sisters, I wanted to be a better Christian. Just being in this room with all of you today, I want to be a better Christian. I still remember some of the things that were taught to us at Bible camp in my teens. I still remember lessons from Sister Kathy Rubin. I still remember lessons from Sister Kathleen Farrell, as well as many other sisters, and even some of you here today. But some of those lessons hit me so, so hard and so deep that I will have them in my heart forever, and I will never forget them. I cannot even begin to say how some of the older ladies have influenced me. So according to Titus chapter 2, thank you, older ladies, you've been doing a great job. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up good love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching." Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us not underestimate the value of fellowship, because fellowship is a part of our service to God. And it is so encouraging and wonderful to be around those who love the Lord. How else can we serve God better in the spring of life? We need to cling to our prayer life. We need to cling to the pages of our Bibles. We need to cling to our brothers and sisters. And we need to cling, most importantly, to our Lord. These are the years of single service to the Lord. Take advantage of it, ladies. With no husband to answer to and no babies jumping at your feet, without having to make sure the family is fed and clothed properly before you send them on their way, without having to make sure everyone has got their dentist and doctor's appointments, without having to worry about what you're going to make for dinner, so many ladies think that they can't be happy or they won't be happy unless they're married or unless they have children. This is not the case. No one, not even the man you marry, is guaranteed to make you happy. Only Jesus can. Of course, marriage and family is wonderful, but you never know. You still may have that lost or unfulfilled feeling. No one can fill that void like Christ. This is the time to build your strong foundation. This is the time when you can devote all of yourself and all of your talents to the Lord. Take advantage of this time. This is the time. This is your season. Every season of life has its joys and sorrows. Every season of life has its ups and downs. But our goal through every season of life is heaven. So let us be there for one. Let us be there for each other and work diligently every day, trusting in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So let us be thankful to God in our lives. Let us have that victory in Jesus Christ, for there is no victory without Christ in your life. Let us be steadfast in all that we do, unmovable in the attempts in our lives, always working hard for the Lord, because our labors will not be in vain.